In this edition of MJ All Day, we spoke with Dante Henderson. We found out how he went from being a skinny boy dancing at the prestigious Hollywood High School to dancing behind the King of Pop. Take a listen. So, Dante, how did you get started in dancing?
That would be high school. I went to Hollywood High Performing Arts, and up until high school, I always thought singing was what I wanted to do, and then I took my first dance class at Hollywood High and just fell in love with it and realized it was something that I enjoyed doing, but I also could do it really well, and I learned really fast, but at the same time, I struggled in the beginning. I thought I was a lot better than I was, obviously, but we all do. I eventually got the hang of it, and when I realized I could actually make money doing it, it just kind of took me off on a whole different career choice, because I didn't really plan to be a dancer.
Wow. So what had you planned to be before dance?
Well, when I was in fourth grade, I thought I was going to be a fireman.
Oh,
I wanted to perform, but I knew I wanted to perform, but I wanted to sing. I wanted to do more singing, but okay. Dancing just seemed to come so easily as far as like being able to work and do it and support myself that, I just kind of kept doing it.
And then you went to Hollywood High. Like, that's a no-joke high school. Some of the world's most famous entertainers at one point walked down those halls, correct?
Oh, yeah. Quite a few.
Yeah, so that's heavy to come through those doors and to be able to rise to the top of your class in anything, in dance and singing, anything that high school, because they know talent. I mean, really talent.
Well, especially back then, now not so much. At that school, it's a different setting now altogether. But back in the day, it was really a big deal to go to school there. And you had to work hard. You really had to work hard because there was a lot of talent. And for some reason, that school seemed to foster a lot of great male dancers, too. Like, usually you go to a school or whatever, any place where they have dance, it's mostly, you find the females that are really good. But this, for some reason, Hollywood High School attracted a lot of great male dancers, and that, I'm sure in part, was due to the fact that we had a male teacher, and he was really good.
Oh, wow. Okay. So after high school, what did you do after that?
Well, I went to CalArts, California Institute of the Arts in Valencia, mm-hmm. California, to study for BA in dance. And I did that for a year and realized, even though I was on scholarship, that I didn't want to go back. I didn't like it. I didn't like the structure of it. It was all modern and ballet, and I was more jazz. But that year of training there really gave me the technique that I was lacking. Mm-hmm. So I did take advantage of that. And I only went there for a year, and then I left and went to a community college back in, in L.A. But, I went to school for a year, and then once I left there, I went to a community college. And after I was there for about 2 years, was when I started to get work, and the teachers told me, listen, you can come back to school at any time, but you're only going to be young once, so you need to make a decision whether you want to work or you want to finish school. And I decided to work, which, if anybody is listening, don't do that. Go to school. Because, dance is great, and I've made my living off of dance, and I've supported myself, all these years off of it, but you want to get that education behind you.
Right. Right. So what was your first gig?
My first gig was, I was about 19, and I was in college, and we were doing a big dance program there was six of us in this company that went to different high schools and junior high schools to do like a program about you know, dance. And, you know, when you get out of high school, you know, you can come to Cal State LA and take, you know, our dance classes and blah, blah, blah. And we were at a high school doing a show, and the person, the lady in charge of the performing arts program that they had after school, saw me, and she came over to me and said, you know, I work for an agency in LA, and there's a huge audition coming up, and she said it's for Debbie Allen, and she's got a contract to choreograph for the Oscars for the next 5 years. Mm. I think you should go. And, you know, I didn't, like I said, I hadn't auditioned for anything yet, so I didn't think anything of it, and I said, yeah, and I went to this audition. There were like 700 people there, and they were looking for 26 people.
Oh, wow.
And it was a full 2 days of dancing, audition, and I ended up booking a job. And out of, you know, all these hundreds of people, I was like this new kid who had just walked in and managed to snag a job. And then I did that show, and then the next 2 years, Debbie personally called me to come in and be one of her assistants for the show.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
I mean, it's just like, I always remember her from Fame, you know,
yeah.
The dance. And so is she like that as a choreographer as well, or?
Oh, yeah, she's very much that character, Lydia, that she plays on Fame.
Right.
That's her. That's who she really is.
Oh, wow.
She's amazing to work with.
Yeah, that's why I had the feeling that was really her playing herself, because she did it so well. You know, like, right here is where Fame costs. I never forgot that line, that infamous line that she said.
You want fame? Well, fame costs.
And right here is
where you start paying and sweat.
Absolutely. Which you literally did.
It's so true.
Which you literally did. So after those jobs, what did you do?
Well, then after that, I went in and talked to the actual agent for this agency that the lady had talked about that she worked at, and it's called Bobby Ball. So they actually called me after I booked the job and said, you know, we've heard a lot about you. You look like you're off to a great start and a great career. We would like to talk to you about representation. And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about having to have an agent and all that. And, so I went in and I talked to Teresa Taylor, who is, and, you know, to this day, I still think she's the most amazing person, but she was the best agent ever. And especially for me, because I didn't know anything about, you know, any of that as far as, you know, being looked after and, you know, how many scams were out there at the time. And,
oh, wow.
You know, people just taking advantage of dancers because they could.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of walked me through it, and they took me on as a client, and I auditioned for about 5 months for jobs, trying to get a job, and I never booked anything. And it was because it was the time when everything was about cut-off jean shorts, combat boots, and see-through tank tops, and a leather jacket, if you would.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
They would always, you know, keep me throughout the whole dance part, but then they would say, okay, can you guys, like, take your shirts off or whatever? And I was so skinny back then. And that was always what knocked me out. Either it was because I was too tall or I was just too skinny. And they called me for the Michael Jackson audition for a new video he was doing for a new album called Dangerous. And he was doing Black or White. That was going to be the first video off the album. And I went to this audition, and again, just hundreds of people. There was a callback. When I went to the callback, there were maybe about 15 guys, and they all looked like me. They were all tall and black. And I was like, mm-hmm. What's going on here? They had finally figured out the direction that they wanted to go in with the video. And we did the audition. I did great, as usual. Got to the end. Guys, can you take your shirts off? So, of course, I take my shirt off. I'm standing there, and they didn't pick anyone on the spot. They told us they would call us and let us know. And a couple of days later, my agent called, and she has this voice. She's like, Dante. I'm like, I know already. I didn't get it. She goes, no, you booked the Michael Jackson job.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, are you sure? They had us take our shirts off. He's like, nope, they want you. And that was it. That was how I got started working with the Kings.
Oh, wow. So then...
Yeah, so it was my first job with the agency, which was a great thing for me because it really made me look good after auditioning for I don't know how many months without booking anything.
Right. And you just only booked like the biggest gig in town at that point.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, everybody showed up for that thing.
Oh.
It was a zoo.
Oh, wow. So how was it when on set? So you get the gig and you
amazing.
Go on set.
It was amazing. It you know, for me being a kid, like I was probably 20 or 21, and, you know, I had never really worked side by side with a real big star, you know, I mean, for the Oscars, you know, there were people who came in and out and did a couple of things, and Michael was actually a part of, he was there at the Oscars with Madonna the first year I did it. So dancing in front of him was very intimidating. So when we got on set, you know, the first couple of days, you know, we worked without Michael. And I remember the day they told us he was coming in, like, I thought I was going to just die of, you know, fear because I was shaking in my boots because this was the person I'd always wanted to meet.
Right.
And so it being surreal already, only to have him come in and make it even more so. It was definitely something I'll never forget.
Okay, so tell us what that moment was like.
The day Michael came in, I remember we were rehearsing in the Valley in North Hollywood, and our choreographer, Vince Patterson, said, okay, guys, you know, we've been rehearsing for a little while. He said, Michael's coming in. So I want you guys to, you know, just relax. Michael's a normal human being, just like the rest of us. He's like, you know, be relaxed. You don't have to treat him special or anything like that. You can talk to him. You can do whatever. And I remember he came in, and they had us all line up. And he walked down the line, and he introduced himself to each person. And I was the last person at the end of the line. I couldn't wait for him to get to me. I was like, okay, just don't say anything. Only say your name.
Mm-hmm.
And when he looked me in the eye, I just thought, oh, am I speaking? Like, everything around me just, there was like this hum where I couldn't tell that I was speaking. You know, I introduced myself and he said, hi, nice to meet you. Like, it was really... To have him that close to your face and talking to you and you're touching him, it just was something that was beyond anything I could imagine.
Oh, my gosh. Like, yeah, you make me feel like I'm there because I'm quite sure I would have been the same way. So,
yeah.
Like, I could just feel the butterflies in your stomach and... Everything you can, you're just looking down, and he's getting to one person, the next person, next, and then finally to you.
Right.
Oh my God. And then you have to dance in front of him.
Yeah. And that was the scary part. Like, okay, you got to do this whole thing. And Michael's just sitting there watching, and he's not judging you. He's more looking to see what your passion is while you're doing it. Like, how are you expressing yourself when you dance, you know, and that's what he's all about, is the expression that the performance gives, you know, or that you get from the energy that comes out of you. And just he's so many things, or I should say he was so many things wrapped up into this one man. And just like things would go through my mind just being next to him. I'm thinking, oh my God, this is really happening. And I think it's the only job, and I've done a lot of jobs since, it's the only job that I ever had where I had to stop at some point in the job and really check myself and go, this is real. This is real. You're really doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there would be times when we're shooting and I'm like, oh my God, I'm right behind Michael Jackson. You know?
It's right. Like,
I've never had that from any other performer that I've ever worked with.
Yeah, I can see how he's different because he's been, you know, entertaining for so long, and we grew up on him. So it's just,
right.
You know, that's, you know, another world kind of experience, because again, we've been fed him for so long throughout our youth. That would be just, you know, have me shaking in my boots to actually meet him, and let alone dance for him, because he's known for that. So I would just, you're braver than me. I don't know if I could have done it. I would have been just.
Well, you'd be amazed at what you can do when you're confronted with the situation.
That is true. That is true. But,
yeah, because I, you know, ever since, you know, when I was a kid, the Jackson 5 was the first concert I ever went to.
See,
and I remember I was about 6 or 7. My brother would have been 10 or 11. And see, my brother didn't sit down the entire concert. He danced from the beginning of the concert all the way through to the very end. I on the other hand, sat there like just mesmerized, because I'd never seen any stage stuff. Like when the lights went black at one point and they kind of stepped back,
mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, where did they go? What happened? Where did they go?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize, you know, what was going on, really, like, because I'd never seen any kind of theater or anything. So it was very, you know, there were all the lights and everything. And I just sat there with my mouth open the entire time, and I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that.
Right. And now, full circle moment, you're doing it, and you're doing it with him.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a trip.
Oh, wow. So did you have any other moments where you had the opportunity to talk to him?
Oh, yeah. There were lots of times on the set when we would sit and talk. And Michael was great because, you know, and it freaks you out the first time, because Michael was always, you know, he would talk to me, but he would always lean in. So he would almost be like, his mouth would be right close to your ear when he talked to you, because he's very soft-spoken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you're on the set, you know, he's trying to keep it where he's not making a lot of noise or whatever. And he, you know, and just hearing my name come out of his mouth was weird, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, he was funny, you know, he always was up to something, you know. A lot of times there were, especially when the kids were around, I wasn't on set, but I think just one time when the kids were around. But, you know, he's always running around with them, and mm-hmm. they're always joking and getting into stuff. And, you know, he's just like a big, you know, big 7-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was always interesting when you were on set. You were like, okay, what's going to happen today?
Oh, so was he playing jokes and stuff? Because I heard he's notorious for playing jokes and stuff like that on people.
I can't even remember what they've gotten into, but he and Macaulay got into something. And it's actually on the, when you see the making of mm-hmm. the video, where they play some joke on John Landis, who was the director.
Okay.
But Michael was always doing something, but, you know, he is definitely a workhorse. You know, he's a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when it's time to play, it's time to play. When it's time to work, it's time to work.
Mm-hmm. So, but you said they were running around, and having fun.
There was all this, like, I don't know why I want to say there was not a food fight, but something with food at one point, but I can't even remember, like, what it was, but I know it was a big promotion for a minute.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I did hear that. I think they had a food fight. I don't know if it was on this particular set, but that was their thing. Like, he and Macaulay would get together and do the whole food fight thing. So after Black and White Video, did you get an opportunity to work with him again?
No, I didn't. There were a couple of things that had come up, and I wasn't even able to audition for him. And then the one time I did audition, they didn't use me because they were trying to go with a different, because there was another tall dancer that I did the video with, this guy Edgar.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up using him, but, you know, there was a lot of people. And I remember the choreographer, Vince Patterson, again,
mm-hmm.
was, he was telling me something about the look of it or some pride. I didn't take offense to it, but I would have loved to have worked with him again.
Oh, wow. So in that brief period.
You know, but the video, when we shot the Black and White Video, that was the better part of almost 2 months that it took to shoot that video.
Really?
Yeah, because they spaced it out so much, and there were a lot of different parts that they had to do. So we didn't work straight through, you know, the 2 months. It was like, you'd work like 5 days and then maybe you'd have a day off and you'd come in for a couple of days. You know, a lot of reworking and things like that because of the background that they'd changed. Because when he does the section where he goes to the Thai girl,
mm-hmm.
and it's the gray background,
right.
that was supposed to be the entire video. All the cultures were supposed to have that background. But they realized it was just a little too bland.
Uh-huh.
So they dropped in, you know, the backdrop for us. We were still in the studio. But the beginning part, we were out in the middle of this no man's land with these tigers, or lions, I should say.
And then, wow.
But then they changed all the other backgrounds to do some, to make them a little more interesting. But it was supposed to be all gray background.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it was a 2 month shoot. That's a long time for a video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and it wasn't, it's considered a mini movie. So,
yeah.
You know, Michael always took his time doing those.
So this is where he to me introduced the whole morphing of faces. Is this where they changed?
Oh, yeah. I remember when they were talking about it, we couldn't fathom in our mind what it would look like because we're like, I've never seen that before.
Right.
So it was really interesting to finally see it when it was done.
Okay. So can your face be seen among the ones that changed within that?
If you watch the black or white video, when we first appear, I'm one of the Watusi warriors, so the African dancers in the first section.
Okay.
So I'm the one that you just see my face close up when we're coming after the lion.
Uh-huh.
I'm the one that's leading the guys. And then when we're dancing, I'm the one who's directly behind Michael. So you see me in every shot.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, you got the prime spot.
Yeah, and the assistant came up to me at one point, and he says to me, I want you to know, because you can't really tell. Some of it, I'm way behind Michael.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the lens they use, they needed me to be that far back so that they could get both of us in this shot when it was just me and Michael. And I remember the assistant coming up to me, and he said, I know what's going through your head. Don't worry about it. Trust me, Vince knows exactly what he's doing. Because I was so far back, I was like, well, man, why am I even back there? Like, you know, I knew they were going to see me, but it's like, it felt like it was way back.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw the video, I just smiled the entire time. Because all of the African stuff, it's mostly, you see me, before Michael dances with us, it's me and then maybe two other guys. But then when we dance, I'm right behind Michael the entire time.
Oh, wow. So did he tell you that Mike actually picked you?
No, they didn't say. I mean, I'm sure the choreographer did most of the picking. Michael trusts Vince. He really did trust Vince. And Vince is he's such a brilliant choreographer and he's a great director.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but at the time, you know, I didn't know Vince. This was my first gig. So
uh-huh.
I just knew that he had choreographed the Madonna Blonde Ambition Tour. But, you know, he and I have since become really good friends because I've worked with him many times after that video.
Oh, wow. So, because I've heard that, like, Mike was really involved in that he would actually pick or approve everybody at some point.
Oh, I'm
so,
sure he does.
Yeah.
I'm sure he does. But that's a process that normally, if you're a performer, you normally don't know about that.
Right.
That you'd have to be, you know, behind the scenes, and especially with Michael's stuff, because Michael's stuff was always very hush-hush.
Uh-huh.
You know, you didn't share things. You didn't share information about stuff. And, you know, that was just how they did business, you know?
Mm-hmm. So who else, so after that job, who else did you go on to dance with?
I did some stuff with Mary J. Blige. I did a commercial with Beyonce. I did movies with Robin Williams and Adam Sandler. And it's just the list, my list of people, it's actually it's a big list, and I tend to forget. You know, my friends can rattle it off when they're telling their friends about what I've done.
Right.
I tend to have to think about it. It's just been so many different things. But, you know, I've been really blessed to be able to work with the best, you know. And Michael definitely was the best. And, you know, growing up with his music and him being my idol since I was a kid, that was really my first job with my agency. But it could have been my last, and I would have been fine.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, I think that is the top, you know, the top.
When
we talk about all around entertainment, and certainly as a dancer, someone who's that devoted to dancing themselves, you know,
and without
I don't.
Training.
And I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Without training.
Yeah, without training.
He didn't have any, like, classical training or anything. He's just a natural.
Right, right. I mean, but he was always looking to innovate and change the styles. And, I mean, just really, from what I've heard, a student of it, yeah, you danced for, like, you started at the top.
I started at the top and worked my way down.
Yeah. No, you started at the top and stayed consistent. That's what happened, because you yelled out, I worked with Madonna.
You've got nowhere else to go but down. So,
well, yeah, that's technically, I guess that is true.
Like, you can't say that, you know, it's not a bad thing.
Right, right. That is true. Yeah, that is true. That is the top of the top of the top.
Yeah.
So I get it. So, I was asking you, and I'm going to ask you now, I had asked you before about, what'd you think about the breakdancing in the Olympics?
Well, you know, like we talked yesterday, I like that they have it. I like that dance is being appreciated in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's been, for years, there's the debate about whether dancers are athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that dancers are more athletic than athletes are, because we have more agility, we have better posture, we have better, you know, everything about the way we're built is built on longevity. Dancers, when you train, you build yourself to, you know, not necessarily your dance life, but as far as just your personal physical self. You're working for longevity. I haven't stepped in a dance class for years, but I can always find my center. I can always pull myself together, because even when, if I'm injured, I can align myself easily, because that's my training.
Mm-hmm.
So for it to be considered an Olympic sport, I think they're going in the right direction with it. I would like to see them open it up to more than just breakdancing, because breakdancing to me is, there's no technique involved. There's no, the only training is really, you know, learning how to do tricks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there is an athleticism to that. So, you know, just the fact that dance is in there, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited. But you know what I said, they better have certain people judge, or I'm going to look at it like, nope.
Yeah, well, that's where the issue is who's going to judge.
Exactly. Like, they,
you know,
I mean,
like,
it can't be.
Like Boogaloo Shrimp and Taco and all those guys come out of retirement and be the judges for stuff like that.
Yeah, they should be.
That's their specialty.
Yeah, and crazy, like, they should definitely be the judge, because otherwise it's just, it doesn't make sense for me.
Right.
To do it. Yeah, they're going to really have to dig deep, and they better have some judges that, you know, that most of us recognize as true pillars in that particular style of dance. Or it's just not going to mean, you know, as much to me. I'm going to look at them kind of crazy. Otherwise, so.
The history that I'll never forget, and I'm glad that I'm a part of that history. There was a time when we were shooting the video, and Michael just put his hands up, and he started waving his hands like, stop, stop, stop. So we all stopped, and he turns around, and he goes, guys, come here, come here. So we all get into this circle, and he's like, no, come really close. So we get into this tight circle, so it's six dancers and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Just the seven of us in this little tight circle. And he says, you know, you know, I know you guys are working hard, and I just want you to know that you can be expressive. You can feel it. You can let yourself go with what you feel. I want to feel your energy. In fact, so if you feel like screaming and he stood there and she went, oh!
Mm-hmm.
And you could see every single guy, like, there was like electricity shoot through our bodies. And it was like, oh my God, he just did that right in my face. And, you know, just the power that was behind this one man, like the energy. And I'm pretty sure the shot that they used most in our section in the actual video was right after he did that to us. You know, he's like, because we're all screaming and we're hollering while we're dancing. And he's like, yeah, that's what I want. And he knew every little thing to pull what he needed out of his dancers. He knew. He knew exactly what to say. But having him say that, oh, right in our face, I was like, oh, God, this energy.
Right. Yeah, I don't know that we'll ever in our lifetime experience a person who has that kind of energy. And electricity, but just, you know, from all accounts, just was really humble. And, you know, and I've always heard just really grateful and understood that he was a gift. And, you know, that because he had this gift, a lot was required of him. And he understood that. So I've heard just wonderful, 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 amazing stories about him, and particularly just the generosity to give you the gift of saying, look, I want you to do whatever you need to do to truly express yourself. That's a gift, because a lot of entertainers are, no, I want you to do it this way and don't give me no extra. I don't want that. You know, because
I'm so not that. He wanted you to live.
Yeah, see, I just, I keep hearing that. That is so amazing. So what lesson would you say you learned from that experience, if any?
Well, I learned, first of all, that it don't matter if you're black or white.
Right?
No, but Michael was my, I guess my, Michael taught me that you can be great, but you can be humble, and you can be loving, and you can be giving, and you can be caring. You don't have to live up to anybody's stereotype of what they think you should be because of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I see watching him, you know, my parents always tried to drill that into me too, but, you know, just seeing it coming from someone so big, you know, it really did put things into perspective for me, you know, especially me not being anywhere near what he is, you know, but the fact that I was given the chance to be right next to him and be where he is for that little bit of time, you know, you learn how to accept things with grace, how to be thankful for what you have, and just to give it everything you have, because if you don't, somebody else will. And if I hadn't gone in and given it my best at the audition, somebody else would have, and they would have taken my spot, and I would have never had that experience or learned the things that I did learn on that job.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So to be able to share that, especially to the younger people who are listening, like, it's possible to live your dream. You just have to go after it.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome.
So you can check us out at MJAllDay.thePodcast on Facebook and MJAllDay-thePodcast on Twitter. You can also email me at dthevip@gmail.com. That's dthevip@gmail.com, and tell me all of your MJ stories.
Beneath the Eiffel Tower, in Ghana's Black Star Square, in Johannesburg and in Pittsburgh, in Birmingham, Alabama, and Birmingham, England, we are missing Michael. But we do know that we had him. And we are the world.